Ready?
Go.
Shoot.
Entertained a motion to come out of recess into public hearings.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlet, second. Mr. Wilson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlet.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
We have motion carried. Now I'm back in regular session for public hearings. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'll read the rules of procedure for the council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Also, please sign in at the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise and do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lang, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And our first hearing on the agenda today is conditional use number 2036, Jimmy Kellogg. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR, General Residential District, for parking of employee vehicles and vans for a cleaning service business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 22,323 square feet, more or less. Property is located northeast of Field Lane, a subdivision street, 200 feet southeast of Muncie Branch Road, being Road 270A. The 911 address is 36181 Field Lane, Rehoboth Beach. The tax map ID is District 334, Map 13, Parcel 873. For the benefit of the record, the council does have before them a copy of the commission's report, which was received in their packet. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on December 10th of 2015. During that public hearing process, we had received and advised the commission of comments received from DLDOT, the Department of Transportation, the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We had received two letters at the commission level in opposition to the application. We received one additional letter on March 4th, generating the same comments that are addressed in the commission's report. Jimmy Kellogg and Jennifer Kellogg were both present and gave testimony in support of the application. There were no parties present in support of other than the applicant and his wife or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application, and on December 10th, 2015, there was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration and asking staff to check for restrictive covenants. On January 14th of 2016, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend denial of conditional use number 2036 for Jimmy Kellogg for parking of employee vehicles and vans for a cleaning service business based upon the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, it appears that this business started small at the applicant's residence, but the record indicates that the business has successfully grown and it has outgrown this particular location. Two, there were parties that appeared in opposition to the application. All of them agreed that the business has outgrown the location and is not compatible with the neighborhood. Three, this location is located on a lot in a residential neighborhood. Property is surrounded by homes on several sides. This commercial use, including the parking, traffic, and trucking activities, is not compatible with the residential surrounding. Four, there is evidence in the record that this use now adversely affects neighboring properties, the community, and adjacent roadways due to the traffic generated by the use, the number of employees coming to and from the location, and other factors. Five, there are other more appropriate locations for this type of use in Sussex County that are either zoned for the use or that are not surrounded by existing residential properties. Six, for all these reasons, the successful growth of this small business means that it no longer fits in with its local residential surroundings, and another more appropriate location should be found to allow it to continue its growth. There's a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Burton, carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated, and that motion did carry 4-0. For the benefit of council, they have before them a copy of the survey of the property with a sketch addition to it to show the more recently improved driveway assist in their driveway activities and their parking. And for the benefit of the council, I passed down photographs of the site that were provided, I believe, by the applicant at the public hearing process. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's all I have, Mr. Questions.
Well, and if it's denied, then what happens to the business?
Any questions from council?
Yes, that's my question. If they're denied, then what happens to the business?
If it's denied, the applicants will be given notice to cease and desist the operation of the business and would have to relocate.
All together. Okay.
Any other questions from council?
This is in a subdivision?
Yes, it is.
It is, yes. Part of a subdivision?
Yes, it is.
Is anybody aware of any kind of...
There were no restrictive covenants found that related to a business activity.
But are there any other business activities in that subdivision? Does anybody know?
I have not been made aware of that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Here and there. Oh, yeah. It's not all of us. Should have had an app of that.
If there are no other questions, then can the applicant, Mr. Kellogg, please come forward? And would you give us your full name and address and be sure and sign in there, please?
Yes, sir. Hello, Council. My name is Jimmy Kellogg. I live at 36181 Field Lane, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, 19971. Let me sign my name. Well, I'm a little bit nervous because it seems like we've been unanimously voted against, which is a little bit scary. And the question you just asked, ma'am, was about what's going to happen with the business. So I automatically get a little bit nervous just because the business has grown to a certain extent since we've moved in here 6 years ago. We have the same amount of vehicles from when we moved in there. So for the neighborhood, it doesn't seem like, from our point of view, that it's grown to an extent at which it has affected anybody. We have noticed, well, 4 years ago, we got a complaint about traffic. So us as business owners and residents of the community, we went in a manner to resolve this the best we could. So we stopped having employees come to our home. They now meet at Kmart or Food Lion. We had our driveway larger just to accommodate us as a family and our work vehicles. We have an entrance and an exit. We have a driveway that could accommodate many more vehicles than we even have, which is really irrelevant. But to speak about the question, what would happen when this gets denied? I go back to being a little bit nervous just because we have 12 full-time employees and their families and our family. Well, we don't know what we would do. Just because this winter alone, we borrowed $10,000 to pay to be able to live. We use credit cards. We apparently, in the wintertime, the business gets so slow that the income can't financially certainly pay for a property to rent. So I can only imagine that what's going to happen then. Therefore, the business is going to go bankrupt. Certainly isn't anybody's problem up here. It would only affect, you know, the clients we have. It would only affect our family. It would only affect our employees. So it might not make a big difference to anybody up here, but to our community, our clients and families, it would be quite detrimental. As soon as we got our first complaint, we did all we could to satisfy and rectify any problems that we might have with our community by ceasing it immediately. And the only thing we're really asking for, I don't think there's any laws that say us as business owners or residents, homeowners, I believe we're allowed to park these vehicles here. I believe the only concern is our employees coming and picking up the vehicles and then leaving our home to go clean. I mean, so what we're asking for seems rather minimal on our point or on our part. We have 3 work vans. We have 3 different crew leaders that come to our house, drop their car off, and then leave with the van. So there's no congregating. There's no having crews or employees meet there and congregate. We don't have possible clients come there. We really do our best to keep any possible congestion or irritation to the neighborhood or possible neighbors down. I mean, because without a doubt, we care about our neighbors and our neighborhood, and we, you know, don't want to ruin.
Is there a homeowner association to your little community?
There's not, no, there's sir.
Not. Okay, and you were violated?
Well, we got a notice this a couple years ago. I don't have it in front of me, asking us to stop having traffic come park in our yard.
From who?
From the county? County, yes.
Okay.
Well, and then that's when we stopped immediately, and then we had all employees meet at either Food Lion or Kmart in Rehoboth just to satisfy any request. And without a doubt, that's all we want to do is satisfy everybody.
Well, the trouble is you're in a residential neighborhood. Well, you're trying to do a business, which you can't do.
Right.
We've never could do that. I mean, in this county, we've never permitted it. And you probably crossed the line from being a home occupation to, because you've gotten some size. So that's the dilemma.
That is a dilemma without a doubt, and we're going to do our best to do whatever we can whenever you all get to whatever verdict you come to. We're 200 feet from Munchie Branch Road, which there's a business right there. I mean, so I'm going to say, wow. I mean, it's, without a doubt, we did cross over the 200-foot mark, but we're 200 feet away. We're one property away from where commercial businesses reside.
What is that commercial business?
It's right on the corner of Munchie Branch Road. It's a car. It's a garage. It's a hair salon, and it's a fabric store.
Lawrence, is this an interior street into the subdivision?
The business he's referencing is on Munchie Branch Road, mm-hmm. And it's a B1 district.
B1 district, mm-hmm. but where the applicant is?
His site is within the subdivision.
Within the, it's not out on Munchie Branch Road. It's in the subdivision on the.
Right. On Field Lane.
And who maintains? Do we know who maintains Field Lane?
I think the streets in that subdivision are publicly maintained by the state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which means, Mr. President, may I? A couple questions regarding that. So the roads in this subdivision are publicly owned, i.e. Dell Dot jurisdiction?
I believe so.
So with that being said, they're state-maintained roads, so therefore the applicant really truly only has to abide by the state rules and regulations, correct?
For what?
For anything. I mean, they're owned by the state, though. That's my point.
Got nothing to do with conditional uses or change of zoning.
The road, right.
Road has nothing to do with that.
But to your point, if they're private roads or public roads?
Well, it's within, no, my concern is, it's a residential community, and you have to go in on a road into the community to get to a commercial site. So you basically had a subdivision years ago approved, and now interior, not out on the main road, which I was just trying to find out if this was a road within the community or out, like Muncie Branch is more, in my opinion, of a state-maintained, you know, one of their primary roads, a county road type of thing.
We have
where these are community roads that happened over the years to have been dedicated to the state, and the state accepted them, but they get a low priority when it comes to any maintenance and everything else. But anyway, I was just trying to find out where this was located with the rest of the community. But I don't think the difference whether it's state-owned, privately owned would make a difference, yes.
Sure.
A little bit short.
If it's privately owned, the homeowners association would be responsible to maintain.
Right, correct. Mm-hmm. But state maintained.
And also have the authority to dictate what goes on the road, correct?
You can drive up and down the road.
No, not necessarily. That would be based upon your restrictive covenants, they would still be public roads, so public would have access. It just goes to the maintenance of the issue of the road.
What kind of gets me here is how we charge him for a business when you said your cars are parked in another place.
No, the cars are parked in our driveway.
In your driveway.
We just don't have any employees congregate or come to our home besides the ones that are picking up our personal, our work vehicles.
You're saying that it would be cost prohibitive for you to, even if you just rented, leased from somebody, a place to park vehicles. Because you could probably run your office, as long as you don't have a sign out and all these other things, you probably run your business out of your home, as long as there wasn't a sign and other things that would, like a home occupation. But I can't imagine, like you're parking some of these other things, there might be somebody nearby that you could park your commercial vehicles at.
We've looked into it. I mean, just to, because at any point that we create,
Here's the problem. We have residential communities all over this county, and for us to start going into within residential communities and start, spot zoning commercial activity is not a good thing to do, something we shouldn't be doing.
There's a dilemma.
Yeah, just for clarification, Mr. Lank, Mr. Cole made a statement, if you were parking some other location, there was no sign, then the business would be okay. This would not classify as a home occupation because of the employees, would it not?
The employees can't come to and from the premise.
Well, if they didn't show up, like I said, if they went in.
Three supervisors that come in and take van from the site, so they're coming to the site and get the vehicles and remove and take them off site. If it was him and his wife operating a business and driving those vehicles, then they just need a home occupation approval. We have to verify that they don't have deed restrictions and they don't appear to be any. And we have to verify, and they would be allowed to have a sign two by three, 6 square foot.
Well, we don't have a sign, want a sign, or need a sign.
They can't have any employees coming to and from the site.
So maybe I started looking about, I mean, just because if we had to move, if we couldn't continue doing what we're doing, we would successfully fail, without a doubt. So then I started thinking, so what do we do now? I mean, does it get to the point now where possibly we tell our employees, you can't come here and pick up a vehicle, and do I personally drive the vehicle to the location where employees are meeting, maybe at Kmart parking lot, and have my wife, I guess, bring me back, and then we take another vehicle there, and then we do that three times? Or, I mean, what could be, I mean, I'm trying to be as hopeful as I can, because it's scary to think about, everybody says no, and now we failed. We lost everything.
In order for people to know that you've got a business here, take the name off the back of the car and put your window blind on there.
Yeah, well, we would certainly do that. I mean, I don't know what an option is, and I don't know what you all would allow or see to be feasible. I mean, but without a doubt, we're certainly going to follow it and we're just hoping that following it doesn't, you know, sabotage everything we've created.
Well, for many years, like I said, as many applications as I've seen, I can't remember if we've gone into within a subdivision, a residential subdivision, and spot zoned a commercial activity.
Right.
It sets, all I can tell you, sir, it sets a bad precedent, because then somebody else could use your example as, you know, why we should get ours and this guy. And anyway, it's a slippery slope. So it's you've got a high threshold, I would say, for the planning and zonings, why their reasoning was the way it was. I would just assume that you have this high threshold and you didn't meet it. Now, if you've got a successful business, the idea of being able to just rent some space from somebody and park vehicles, there's probably a lot of commercial places that have additional lands available to them that would let you do that. And it may cost you some money, but it wouldn't put you out of business. But I can understand planning and zoning's concern.
Mr. President, may I?
Sure.
Just whomever, Lawrence or Everett, question what's the difference? Because if it appears if this home was not located within a subdivision, we would be having a different dialogue. It appears. Therefore, let me ask the question, and that is, could somebody please distinguish the difference legally as it relates to this topic between a subdivision that has no covenants and then a subdivision, quote unquote, that has covenants?
One, if you have covenants, you would read the covenants to see if it stated no business ventures allowed whatsoever. I think the more important issue right now that we need to focus on, this council is charged with making a land use decision, and a lot of what we're focusing on is the business. And obviously, it's a sympathetic approach that the applicant has brought to us. He's concerned about his business. But we have to look at it from the land use standpoint. The land use standpoint is this a home occupation qualify, whether it's in a subdivision or not in a subdivision? If it doesn't, then would it qualify, meet our standards for conditional use or not? And that's what he's asked for, because it does not qualify as a home occupation, whether he was in a subdivision or not in a subdivision. So now we're looking at the issue, does he qualify for a conditional use?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. You're talking about organized subdivision. Of course, all along roads where we live, businesses start up years ago, just a piece of a lot, again, you know, on the road, you know, the dog kennel, that's been there for years. It's not been zoned, but it's allowed. So that's just one piece of property on a road, but that's not an organized subdivision. Is that where you're drawing the line? Because the other people have something to say who live in that subdivision. Is that what you?
Directed towards him or to me?
Mr. Our counsel.
Gotcha.
Okay. Normally when someone sets up a subdivision, that's a unified plan of a residence.
Right.
For a residential subdivision.
Right.
So
it.
The people purchasing lots in
that's
there are anticipating that it's going to be used for residential purposes. Because that's how it was laid out and presented.
That's
different than, you know, if there's a farm along a road and lots get stripped off and sold over a period of time, and then you're looking at it is on a main thoroughfare,
mm-hmm,
for the business as opposed to turning into a subdivision.
And we have given B1 to a lot of properties all along Plantation Road, but they weren't in a particular
subdivision. So again, it comes back to the land use decision. Does it qualify for home occupation or not? Based on what I heard from Mr. Lank, is it does not, as it is currently being operated. So then, is it proper to have a conditional use? So I know when you first came up, you were addressing the issue that Ms. Deaver, you responded to her question. It might be helpful for the council for you kind of describe what your business is and what the day-to-day operations are, when people come, when they leave, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I would be part of any conversation that would be in favor of us possibly being able to continue doing what we're doing. And if it's a land use thing, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we're still allowed to park our vehicles there. I mean, hopefully that's accurate.
Right, is that yeah. A true statement, Lawrence, right?
If you and your wife are the drivers.
Well, I mean,
you can't have other people come in and pick up.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah, I mean, there's no problem with apparently us residing our vehicles there. The only problem is somebody, three employees, come to our home and then leave with a vehicle. So it's not really a land use problem if we're allowed to park them there. I don't know how relevant that could possibly be. It seems.
Can't deny the person who drive his work vehicle to and from his residence, but. As I said earlier, you said you had three employees that come in and pick up those vehicles, and they
yes,
park
sir.
Their vehicle there, so now you've got
yes, sir.
Back and forth traffic that's unnecessarily not the resident that lives there.
Yes, sir.
So home occupation is specifically for a person or persons living on the premise.
And I would never point out what neighbors are doing, but I can't remember who brought it up earlier. My wife has pictures of neighbors in our community that are going to, I mean, my problem is my problem. It's not any neighbor's problems, but it's hard not to point out what other people are doing when our concerns are being pointed out. But we have numerous neighbors that are also running businesses, parking big trucks, bringing out trailers full of heavy equipment. We have one neighbor that rents his place out. Now, he rents out rooms, and it's probably, there's always five different cars in his driveway. They're not residents. We have a neighbor that rents out their home,
One of the things, as I indicated, it would probably be helpful for the council if you just describe what your business is and what happens on a daily basis. So why don't you do that?
Okay. Well, every day we have three employees that come to our home and pick up a work vehicle and leave. My wife works in the office inside the home, and you know, gets the scheduling done, makes phone calls from our home.
Pretty much it.
I mean, it's not a lot. We don't do anything significant. I mean, we don't pour cleaners down our drains. We don't, you know, have a messy yard where it accumulates trash and debris. I mean,
Well, the way the county operates currently is we're a complaint-driven county. So obviously some neighbor complained about your activity because it's a residential neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
And they complained that you were doing a commercial activity. And they were right and you were wrong. So we're at that point now to try to straighten this out. But you've got a difficult threshold, like I said, to meet.
Well, the last complaint came when we were getting our driveway built. The complaint came because we had a slew of trucks coming down pouring blacktop in our front yard. I mean, so it wasn't about.
They complained, but the complaint was about you were operating a business and you were expanding things, and they could only see that this was going to get whatever problem they had beforehand. They saw the bigger driveway and everything else adding to the, you know, making it more and more of a commercial activity, and it is a residential community. So you were in violation. They weren't. So they were right. And all these other people you're talking about. It's all complaint driven. I guess we haven't had any complaints about renters. Renters are permitted. And a work guy can bring home his truck.
I can only assume that I could possibly now rent out a room to some employees.
Anyway, okay.
So then we wouldn't have another conversation.
Well,
is that how plausible is that of an idea? I mean, if our employees are now tenants or, you know, rent a room, we wouldn't be talking anymore.
Yeah. Well, you probably would.
part of the process is you're here today to make your application, give evidence in support of your application. Although the council tries to be helpful in the planning and zoning office, we're not going to answer questions about how you can evade the zoning code. So, you know, just if you've completed your presentation or if you have anything else to add, or do you have other witnesses?
Sure.
Is your wife here or someone that mm-hmm. could testify as well? Maybe have them come forward.
Thank you all for your time.
Thank you. I'll ask the wife. That's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Do we know how long it's been in business? Have it here? Okay. Well,
my name is Jennifer Kellogg, and I live at 36181 Field Lane, and that's where Hoboth. I don't do well speaking in public, so I'm going to do my best. I would like to give these pictures because the only box trucks that ever come to our house are FedEx or UPS, and we're entitled to that whether we own a business or not. But there are some businesses with large, very large box trucks in their driveway one street over, very close to the entrance also. But I think it's important because maybe some of that traffic is being misled to our traffic. And we are also very close to the bus stop, and people like to stop and sit and wait by our driveway, and that's not our activity. I mean, simply our employees show up in the morning. Sometimes I sleep in, and I don't even hear them. They just come in, grab the keys, and they leave. Nothing else is done by them on our property. It's our home. We did have our vehicles broken into this summer. Every one of them. We did get scared and got a security system in our home and cameras. And we are a little afraid to put $75,000 worth of vans on a rented lot somewhere in town because it is our livelihood. We do owe money on them. And that is a little bit of a big fear to us. Not only not being able to, we might not be able to pay the rent during the winter months because this is seasonal. But I can pass these on when I get done. Okay, so I addressed the thing about the box trucks. We do not have anything commercial delivered to us. We only have packages because we like Amazon. I know everybody else does. We haven't had a box truck deliver something, which wasn't near as big as this one, these ones in these pictures, since back over the summer. And we've not called them. I go to AE more if I need to get something from there, which is real rare. So that in itself, I don't know where those complaints are coming from. Maybe it's being misconceived because the entrance, when you come in, it splits into a Y. So, I mean, that's a big deal to me. These pictures were taken yesterday. One of the problems back in the summer is all these big dump trucks came in. We've had the same amount of vans. We've not changed since 2010 when we moved into the property. I think when we moved, all these big trucks came in and started digging out the front. They probably got scared. And we did park across the street. And some of these pictures, you know, like Jimmy was saying, they do rent rooms, okay, but they're blocking traffic when they do it. We are trying to be responsible and not block traffic. We have a routine. We stick by it in hopes of being able to park our vehicles there. I mean, it would be real sad to have to go rent a whole office year-round just to park three vans at that we don't know if we're going to come back in the morning and they're going to be okay or not. Because, you're seeing all these break-ins and robberies and everything else. What happens if something happens to my vans? All three of them are there. It's like everything I built is in one basket. So that is a concern for me also.
How long have you been in? How long has your business been in existence?
7 years.
7 years. And how long have you been at this location?
Six. Since 2010, in March of 2010, we moved here. We've had this three vans. We traded them and got brand new vans last winter. But we still had three. And we could show documentation for that. But here's some pictures if you just want to keep them or see where all these big box trucks are coming from.
Mr. President, may I ask a question? How long have you been having the three trucks?
The three vans.
How many years?
Since 2011. We've had three. We had some three old crappy vans, but they were labeled.
So really nothing's changed in the last 5 years for your business?
No.
As far as numbers of vehicles. So in your opinion, what has changed in the last 5 years to now warrant, quote unquote, a complaint?
Well, I have a brand new vehicle, and Jimmy got a brand new vehicle also, but He had one. We added one extra vehicle this year, but it's a private vehicle. It's not labeled. It's not commercial. It's for me and my children. But Jimmy always had a truck. He parks it in the back. Always has. He traded it in and got something because it was old and breaking down.
Probably a new driveway, right?
We did the driveway. The reason why I did the driveway is if I started backing out, the people behind me would have to wait. So the reason for the horseshoe driveway was to keep people from having to wait when we backed out.
Well, that's what really made it drainage, when it's all the driveway.
Correct? And I believe that's when you got the notices. We did it on July 4th. I have pictures. They brought on like 5 dump trucks in, and it was complete chaos, and we parked across the street. And the neighbor that rents to all the students and stuff, he normally parks all his extra overflow renters' cars in those parking spots across from us, and we used one of them. And next thing you know, we had a letter and complaints. And I think it probably did scare people, but nothing else has changed, and we do not have – I mean, I have video. We streamline video, you know, because of our cars being broken into. I mean, and the only thing that comes to our house is UPS or FedEx, and we're – all entitled to that.
Quick question earlier your husband made mention of what time in the morning folks show up. What time do they typically come back and drop the cars off?
It's before 5, sometimes earlier.
Is it Monday through Friday? Is it weekends?
Monday through Friday. In the summer we do Saturdays and sometimes Sundays.
Okay. So there are times where it's 7 days a week then, currently. I mean, well, different times of the year, it's 7 days a week.
Yes.
Okay.
But on Sundays, I usually take the vans out instead of the crew. So I work on Saturdays and Sundays. In the winter, I don't work. Well, most of the time, I don't work during the week. I stay at home.
Any other questions from council?
I have a short question. I missed something, actually, from Mr. Kellogg. He said that he had been before county before on this, I'm sure. I didn't hear that he had not gotten a notice before?
He had received a notice, and I think he was referring to the Planning Zoning Commission.
The commission.
He got it.
Yeah. But this is all one piece here. In other words, it's not the second time.
We didn't own the house the first time, so it may have been in our the homeowner's original name. We rented this house when we moved in there. It was a rental property, and then we purchased it later on.
Okay. I thought there had been a violation.
There was a violation.
No, I have a copy of the violation right here. Can I ask a question? When did you get the driveway done?
July. The end of July, I think in the first week of, I mean, the last week of June and the first week of July. I think it was over that period of time.
The violation letter was dated July 15th of 15, and it was addressed to Jimmy Kellogg about the illegal business taking place.
So it was right after.
It was after the driveway.
And I'm going to tell you, I won't lie, I can show you the pictures. It was a big mess. Nobody could get by when those trucks were working on our yard. It would have made me mad, too. I can't lie about that.
One other quick question, if I may. In the last 5 or 6 years, you had older vans, now you've got new vans.
Mm-hmm.
Have decals changed?
No.
You've always had decals on the cars?
Yes. The only thing that's changed is the car I was driving last year, I don't have it anymore, and the new one I've gotten doesn't have a label. So the 3 vans have labels, but mine doesn't. Last year, mine did have a label.
But they always have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's the first thing we did. That's how we grew our business. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sure.
I understand you to say that some folks that work for you park on the side of the road.
No.
You have parking on the side of the road? None? I thought you said that.
No, next door and the guy on the corner, they rent to renters, like weekly renters, like just random people, and they usually park, and what you're seeing is like those that are parking and blocking the road.
Not your people that
No. And that's what I'm saying. We're trying to be responsible. Like we have the horseshoe driveway, like you pull in and traffic can still get out without blocking.
So they come in and in their car. And get into a van is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the cars parked then?
So the 3 cars are parked in the driveway along
with. Just 3.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of room.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's absolutely a ridiculous amount of room. There's so much room that they can park there and the vans if needed, which we don't like to do, and you can still drive through.
So just still trying to get a picture of it. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions from council? Do you have any other witnesses that you'd like to call?
No, sir. I think that's. I think I got everything covered.
Okay.
And I do this part. Jimmy still works for his own, for somebody else, obviously, because we don't make enough money for him to just work for Dustin Time. So he is employed by a company. Along with that, we have 14 employees, not 12. So sometimes he doesn't really realize.
That's a pretty good sized little business.
Yeah, but it's 14 people that we barely made it this winter with. And that's my greatest fear is if I go out and get this, you know, place and can I keep in the winter, seasonal?
To clarify, 14 employees, which is just mentioned on public record, and you have 3 work vehicles that other employees are using. Is that correct? You still have your own vehicle.
Yes.
Which you're permitted, of course.
Yes.
But so how many work vehicles do you have that are labeled by the company?
For Dustin Time?
Yes.
3.
There's just a total of 3.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really
sir?
What's in question here, basically.
Yes. Okay. There's 3 vehicles.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor? Yes. Would you like to come forward, please? Give us your name and address.
My name is Emily Longenecker, and my address is 37 Henlopen Gardens, Lewis, Delaware, 19958. Sign in?
Yes, please.
Okay. I am a Dustin Time employee. I've been with Dustin Time for working on 4 years now. I work in the office with Jennifer, and I see, you know, I see what the business goes through as far as work, you know, in the wintertime, and I just, you know, am scared that, you know, if this happens, that next year, you know, I have a family, and I don't want to be without work, and I know, you know, working with Jennifer in the office, that it would be struggling for Dustin Time in the wintertime to have to rent, you know, a space to put these vans. And, you know, I was there when all the brand new vans got broken into. And, you know, that's a fear of mine is what if the vans get parked somewhere and they get broken into. I mean, that could very well affect Dustin Time, too. So I just am worried myself because I am an employee. And, you know, obviously I rely on Dustin Time for my income and to be able to provide for my family. So...
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. And if it's the desire of council, close the public record.
We will close public hearing, and if it's okay with council, we'll close public comment. And Mr. Moore, if you'd read the short title, we'll see what council wants to do.
Okay. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for parking of employee vehicles and vans for a cleaning service business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 22,323 square feet, more or less.
Pleasure, council.
I'll move for adoption.
Mrs. Deaver, Mr. Arlette.
I just before we get a further dialogue on this, I know the Planning and Zoning had provided a recommendation of denial, unanimously 4-0, and they provided some talking points here. I think it's relevant in the conversation that the community itself does not have anything within their covenants to restrict a business. I think that's relevant, and I think that we could find perhaps. Some points here, it's a conditional use with points that one could all consider that would be feasible and pleasing to both the community as well as the applicants here. So for me, I would love to defer this, allowing for council to provide some points based on public record that was presented today, whereas we could approve something that was made sense. That's my thought on that. I don't know if there's anybody else has any other thoughts regarding this or not, but.
No, I mean, I've always felt that if somebody wants to defer, we should show them, you know, consideration. And if that's your decision to ask the legal counsel to draw up some positive points.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Well, therefore, I'll move forward with the motion allowing to defer, allowing for counsel to provide some reasons per the record to allow for adoption in favor of with some points that were pointed on in record.
Motion, second. Mr. Harbett. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Harbett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Next, Mr. Moore.
Yes.
You're still alive for a while.
The next case is conditional use 2037, Gilbert J. Bernoski, Jr. Mr. Lang.
Yes, thank you. I note that Mr. Bernoski is not present. Is someone here on his behalf?
Mm. Okay,
you are okay.
Okay, you can have
just
a seat.
Make sure. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR, General Residential District, for an auto repair shop.